KALW.
The church is essential because we go to the hospitals, we feed the hungry.
Faith leaders gather in Oakland, pushing for Governor Newsom to open churches throughout the state.
We have an army of lawyers. If you have a problem, if you declare that you are going to open, we want to be by your side.
We'll hear why this rally struck a chord with some Oakland residents. Then, while we are sheltering in place in our homes, animals in zoos and aquariums are sheltering in theirs. But how do they eat?
The level of animal care has remained the same.
And we hear how one man in prison turned his life around by pulling strings.
Crochet is very forgiving. All you have to do is pull on a string, go back to where you made your mistake, and just redo everything all over again. You don't have to throw away the yarn.
That's coming up. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. In a crisis, one of the first places some people turn to is their place of worship. But in the era of the coronavirus, people are finding fellowship virtually. Last Thursday, a group of pastors from around the state gathered at Acts Full Gospel Church in East Oakland for a press conference. They say the church is essential, and they're calling for the governor to open its doors by May 31st. Or they'll do it without the governor's permission. But why did this get a reaction from some Oakland residents? Here with more is KALW's East Oakland reporter, Janae Darden. Hi, Janae.
Hey, Hannah.
So this story made headlines in the Bay Area. Tell us about the press conference.
A group of pastors from around California and of different denominations, they met at Acts Full Gospel Church in East Oakland. And Acts is the largest church in the city with 6,000 members. And full disclosure, I grew up in that church. So they hosted the press conference. But an organization called Church United organized the press conference. And the org helps pastors engage in government. So the pastors that gathered, they say churches are essential. They say they help people in need, they feed the hungry, you know, they comfort those who are troubled. And the group lawyer says it's their First Amendment right to spread the gospel of Jesus. And so they want to reopen on May 31st because that's Pentecostal Sunday, which is the birth of the church.
Mm-hmm. The pastors and others joining them around the state, they say they're going to open regardless of what the governor says. So what's their plan to keep parishioners safe?
They mentioned following CDC guidelines, you know, practicing social distancing. Bishop Bob Jackson of Acts Full Gospel says they'll be handing out masks and gloves, having a maximum number of people in the church, adding additional church services, disinfecting the pews and bathrooms between services.
Okay. All right. So this got some buzz in Oakland. Why?
Well, Acts Full Gospel Church is a predominantly Black church located in East Oakland, which is where the virus is hitting really hard. And it's Black and Latinx folks who are suffering disproportionately. Last week, Alameda County had the most new cases of COVID-19 in the Bay. And critics say that by gathering, the church is putting people at risk in an area that's already being severely impacted. And there have been cases of coronavirus outbreaks at churches, such as places in Sacramento and most recently Butte County. And also, they're accusing pastors of wanting to reopen to fill up that collection plate. But yep. Bishop Bob Jackson says he isn't after people's money.
Now, regardless, his church does do a lot in the community.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Acts has a program that provides housing and support to help former inmates transition back into society. They've built affordable housing in deep East Oakland. The day after the press conference, they helped Salvation Army and the Church of Latter-day Saints distribute 1,000 boxes of groceries and $40 gift cards to people in need.
And Janae, their bishop is running for office, right?
Yeah, Bishop Jackson is running for City Council District 7 in East Oakland. Councilman Larry Reed is retiring after serving for 23 years. And I think it's definitely an important race to follow. And this will likely come up during the election.
Mm. And there are local ministers who've decided not to open their churches. What about them? What are they saying?
So other ministers have publicly disagreed with the pastors at the press conference. A group of local pastors discussed this on Facebook Live. Pastor Zachary Carey of True Vine Ministries in West Oakland is very disappointed. His wife is a doctor on the front line, and so his family is at risk. And he says those pastors with Church United just don't get it.
So this is absolutely ridiculous for preachers to do this in public and not even take into consideration all of us who are sacrificing daily for them to go and take care of people who are in need.
All right. So those are some passionate words. Will Bishop Jackson open his church if the governor says no?
So now here's what he said during his online Sunday service.
Am I going to do it? Not if the governor say no, I'm not going to do it.
And Bishop also says,
if the Lord tells me to open the church, whatever the Lord is telling me to do, I know the Lord say obey the law, but I know another thing, the Lord say obey him.
All right, so Janae, what did the members have to say?
Well, Hanau, he got well over 1,000 comments. Many applaud his leadership during all of this, and they say they'll stand by him. You know, again, he says that the church is essential because they feed people, help the sick, et cetera. And Acts has been doing that during the pandemic. I think the criticism was largely about them gathering for service inside and not so much as coming together for the good work that they've been doing outside of the church building.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Janae, for the update.
Thank you.
Janae Darden is KALW's East Oakland reporter. You can listen to her stories at KALW.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Next, we're bringing you a story from our series, The Essentials. We hear from workers who have to continue to leave their homes to do their jobs in the midst of the coronavirus crisis. Some of them are frontline workers. Some of them are doing important work behind the scenes. In this installment, we'll meet Vicki McCloskey. She's a biologist at the California Academy of Sciences in Golden Gate Park. The museum has been closed for months, but there are still tens of thousands of animals, bugs, and fish that live there. They need to eat, and it's Vicky's job to feed them. Some of her hungriest customers, 4 snapping turtles and an albino alligator named Claude. KALW's Sona Avakian has that story.
We are still coming in every day to take care of the animals, but we are at half staff. We split the staff into 2 groups so that we don't overlap in case anyone does become exposed on one side or the other. Right now I am with the swamp team. Everyone is wearing their PPE, so we all have face masks. The neat part about that is that the other curator's wife made the whole staff face masks, and they're pretty amazing and very comfortable face masks, so the team has no problem wearing them. Because the area on the island is a little bit smaller, it's important for us to wear them when we go down to do the feedings. And the team's spirits are pretty high. The level of animal care has remained the same, which is great. And I know that animal care staff globally are doing what we're doing. Part of being animal care staff is understanding that you're always an essential worker because you're taking care of live critters. And we are very used to not having the regular holidays that most people have because the animals always have to eat. And we are entering the swamp habitat to feed our albino alligator, Claude, and our 4 snapping turtles, Morla, Jaws, Donatello, and Raphael. In order for us to feed this habitat, we have to climb down into it. So this requires specially trained biologists to go down. Right now I'm working with Piper, Spencer, and James. And Piper goes down first. She keeps her eye on the alligator while James and Spencer get in. We also have to put in all of our tongs, our feeding equipment, and our buckets with all the food that's prepped in the buckets. The alligator and the turtles both will be getting trout, rodents, and a gel with vitamins in them that contains a lot of their caloric and vitamin needs. So the nice thing is that the museum is very quiet. We don't have to put up barriers while we're going in like we normally would. I think some of our animals miss their people TV. You know, the penguins do like to interact with visitors. So we try and help out with that by doing some yoga sessions in front of the penguin habitat. I'm going down into the swamp now. In order for this to work, the alligator station's at one side of the island and the turtle station at the other side.
Claude, home. Good.
And Claude just got his first piece of trout. Spencer and James are still trying to lure the turtles over. But Claude knows what he's doing.
Claude, home. Home.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator.
Sona is a fellow in KALW's Audio Academy. You can find more stories from our series about essential workers at KALW.org.
She told me, nearly made me lose my head. When I thought of what she told me, nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now a story from the Uncuffed team at Solano State Prison in Vacaville.
From Solano State Prison,
this is Uncuffed.
Carlos Munoz had been incarcerated for more than 20 years when he finally found his calling, crochet. At first, he was embarrassed to crochet in front of other men. He did his stitching while hiding behind cell blocks. But over time, Carlos brought out his art and shared it with the world. Carlos spoke with Uncuffed producer Spoon Jackson in this story from our archives.
One of the things about the more complex projects is that you have to follow instructions. Mm-hmm. If you don't follow instructions, of course, just like our lifestyle, we get in trouble, right? But in crochet, what happens is if I don't follow instructions, my project begins to take a different direction, right? And it begins to shape differently. And that's a principle that I actually share with the guys as well. My name is Carlos Munoz, and I am the coordinator and facilitator of The Rock, Reaching Our Communities Crocheting. When I initially arrived to this prison, Solano State Prison in California, I found myself a lot of idle time. And I began to look for different hobbies, and I came across crochet, and that's how I started. I wanted to give a sweater to my mom and my sister, but initially I was really shy.
Yeah.
I was really shy, I was kind of timid, and I used to hide behind the barracks, behind the bunks, and do it on my own.
And do your crocheting?
Do my crocheting, yes.
So you think there's stigma behind crocheting?
Absolutely. Well, you know, at first I thought that, you know, this is a women-dominated craft, how can I be doing it in prison, especially, you know, the culture in prison, hyper-masculine environment, an environment full of dominance. So I figured, how am I going to be doing this in here?
Once you got the knack for crocheting, how did that make you feel inside?
It gives me a sense of accomplishment, a sense of self-worth, because I'm learning a skill that I actually kind of was very timid to before. And every project that I completed made me feel a sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to introduce this to the rest of the population, because I couldn't be the only one that is feeling this stuff. I never ran a crochet program before. I didn't have a blueprint for it, but I, because of the benefits that we can reap from this, I said, I have to figure this out. And here we are. I have two classes already set up. 15 to 20 participants in each one. We donate to the Veteran Homes of California, one in one of the locations in Yountville, the other one is in West LA.
I know your individuality and your individual art comes out in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you do your individual style.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's very important.
Individual footprint, yeah.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up because I've looked into the effect of colors, right? What does each color invoke in a person?
Mm-hmm.
And the more brighter and vibrant colors that we come across with, because all we've seen is white and gray
mm-hmm.
and black, and you know, darkness, right? Those are the primary three colors that we've seen most of our time in incarceration.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you bring purple and you bring bright yellow and
orange,
purple, you know, right? Orange, yeah. Right? It's very vibrant. It changes the mood, and it could be happiness, it could be joy, it could be peace, it could be love, right? Through red, white, you know, purple, yellow.
Because I know a couple of people that's in the class, and they really enjoying it, too. And they come back, and I see them in the day room over there crocheting. I say, yeah, I know Carlos.
Yes. <you go." laughs> Yeah, you know what? Everybody came out of those barracks, and they crochet openly in front of everybody else now. And it's amazing for me because we have actually, at first, people would question themselves and the reputation in prison, of course, and said, you know, I'm going to take this challenge and take the criticism as long as I'm able to give back to my community. One of the people who inspired me to give back has been Ellen DeGeneres, the show.
Ellen DeGeneres?
Ellen DeGeneres.
I always liked her. She cool.
Yes. She finishes she off her program as being be kind to one another.
Yeah.
So I began to do that, and it's very powerful, and it's actually healing when you become be kind to somebody else. And the guys learn a lot.
Yeah,
they have learned a lot. It's a very forgiving craft. One of the things that I actually share with them is they make a mistake and they continue on, right? And they come back and they notice their own mistakes in the craft. And I say, you know, one beautiful thing about crochet is all you have to do is pull on the string and redo it all over again.
Mm.
But we have to be mindful of our mistakes.
That's a great metaphor for life, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing about crochet is very forgiving, right? All you have to do is pull on a string, go back to where you made your mistake, and just redo everything all over again. You don't have to throw away the yarn. Inmates are now open-minded to the craft, and they're realizing that they've had the wrong perception on what crochet is. I've been incarcerated for 27 years, and I never imagined I would crochet myself. Not in a million years. I didn't even have it in my plan.
It's something that lasts, you know, sort of like a painting or...
Right.
Your poem. Yeah.
Absolutely. So a lot of the stillness that the craft demands from a person that crochets is something that an inmate has not experienced in prison, or more so, you know, both worlds on the streets and society and or in prison. I've never been still for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Or experienced tranquility.
Yeah. Like
calmness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what that was.
And you see it in your students when you teach them.
I see
class.
It when they're sitting there for hours trying to create their project. And when they snap out of it, they realize, damn, I'm still in prison. I forgot about it. Right? Yeah. It's time to clean up, guys. And they turn around like, what happened? One of the stigmas that we have in here is that most of us are stuck in our old behavior. And today I can clearly say that we're not. From one day to the next, we went from our criminality to crocheting.
That was Carlos Munoz speaking with Spoon Jackson last year at Solano State Prison. Carlos was granted parole this month. He'll be walking free after 26 years of incarceration. KALW's training program in prisons is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The producers fact-check content to the best of their ability, and all content is approved by an information officer. You can listen to more stories from Uncuffed at our website, kalw.org/uncuffed. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Bay Area authors have had to cancel launch parties and book tours because of the coronavirus, so KALW is bringing you excerpts from their latest releases in this series we're calling New Arrivals. Today, it's an Oakland-based author who writes under the pen name Adrian Astor, reading from their new dystopian sci-fi thriller, Loving Arthur.
My book, Loving Arthur, came out on April 28th. It's about a woman named X who falls in love with an artificial intelligence in her home. This paragraph is from the beginning of the book as X moves into her new home and is first introduced to the AI. X knew what she was supposed to say, yet didn't know where to look or how else to behave. How do you introduce yourself to nothing? The house seemed exactly the same since the last time she'd been inside. There were no outward signs of Arthur, but she knew it was there, listening and watching. It's lovely to meet you, X. Her breath caught in her throat. The voice was so real, so believable. She remembered her lines. I will be living here now with you, Arthur. This is our home together. I am glad, said the voice. X was taken aback again. She half expected a man to step out in front of her, hand extended, maybe a half smile playing across his face. There was no man, though. There never would be.
That was author Adrian Astor reading from their new book, Loving Arthur. You can find more information about that and other books recently released at kalw.org/newarrivals. Today's Cross Currents team includes Christopher Agusa, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Andrew Stelzer, and Eli Wortschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.